Take the Bible again and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, folks, tonight we want to hear from God's Word. We want to know what God has to say. And, you know, the Lord is wanting to show us, and that's why He left us the Word of God, to show us what He desires from us. And the happiest Christians are the Christians that learn what God wants from them and are obedient in doing what God has called them to do. Notice again, if you would, in verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." You know, when you get saved, something happens. Amen. When you get saved, you become a new creature. And I tell you what, the old nature's still there. And there's times in my life where that old nature wants to come out in different ways, in different forms. But I tell you, there's something new that happened inside of me. And that's why it's important to be in the house of God, and that's why it's important to hear the Word of God and to walk with God, because we got to feed the new nature. We got to feed the Spirit of God that is in us, that God has put in us, but understanding that, you know, there's something new, and we ought to act different. There ought to be something different about it. It ought to be that the world looks at us and they see Jesus in us. The way we live, the way we act, the way we respond. It says that we're a new creature. It says old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Bible says here in verse number 18, it says, "And all things are of God. Who hath," what's that say there? What's that word? "Reconciled," what? "Us." He reconciled us to Himself. God did this. How did He do it? By Jesus Christ. "And hath given to us" the what? "The ministry of reconciliation." So just like He said, God said that I had, through my Son, through Jesus Christ, has reconciled you to me. I have given you a ministry for you to be reconciling others. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. So it was God, which was Christ, was God in the flesh. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses. You know, the world, which is we are the world, we deserve that to pay for our sins. We deserve to be punished for our trespasses. But He says here that He reconciled us, not imputing or putting to our account our trespasses. And it says, "And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So what is He saying here? The Lord is saying, and I'll tell you exactly what the Scripture is talking about here. What He's saying here in the Scripture is that I sent my Son to die so I can reconcile you. You heard the Word. You were born again. You have a job now to go out to the world and to reconcile those people to me, bring them to the Word of salvation through the Word of God. This is talking about soul winning. This is talking about giving the gospel. It's talking about showing people the Word of God and teaching them that Christ died for their sins and that God wants to reconcile man back to Him. Man, understand, letter A, man sinned against God. Man sinned against God. Just to make it clear, our relationship with God was broken. No fault to God. We chose to sin against Him. He didn't do anything wrong. We did wrong. We did wrong to God, and we deserve to be punished for our sin. But even though we did wrong and we sinned, He was looking to reconcile us. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered." It didn't say, "Wherefore by God." It said, "Wherefore by man." See, man brought sin in the world. It says, by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Adam chose to sin against God, and because of his desire or his willingness to sin, to disobey God, he was cast out of the Garden of Eden, and he lost his fellowship with God. So before Adam was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. So every morning, God would walk with Adam, and they would fellowship. And that was a good fellowship. But one day, God in the cool of the day said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam and Eve are hiding. Why are you hiding? Why are you doing this? Because we're naked. Who told you you were? And then all of a sudden it was revealed that they sinned. They disobeyed God. What happened after that? God cast them out of the Garden of Eden. He put angels there with flaming swords and said, keep them out so they don't eat of the tree of life. So all of a sudden we see right there where man was created for God. Man was created to fellowship with God. Man was created to have a union with God, a relationship with God. Man sinned, not God. Man did wrong, not God. Man chose to disobey. Man chose to hurt God. God cast him out of the Garden of Eden, but God didn't stop there. God says, I need to figure out, and God knew what he was doing. He goes, but we're going to figure a way because I want to reconcile them back to me. God says, I want that relationship back. Isaiah 59, verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. See, God had a sweet relationship with man. Man chose to sin against God. Man's relationship with God was broken because of his own sin. Man became, get this now, and that's who we are. Man became an enemy of God. Man, because of his sin, became an enemy of God. Man's sin, letter B, man's sin separated him from God. It wasn't God's fault that he was separated from God. It was his fault. He did it. God didn't do it. His sin separated him from God. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So it says we were enemies, but he said that he reconciled us. So I see man sinned against God. Man's sin separated him from God. So now they have a broken relationship. You know, if you have a friend or a loved one that you're close to and something happens and you have a broken relationship, it's not a happy place to be. I'm not happy. I don't feel happy. I want that relationship fixed again. God looks down and God says, I'm not happy. I want you back with me. I want to reconcile you back. But he noticed we sinned against him. Our sin separated us from God. We see letter C here. Letter C, man was hopeless without God. Man was hopeless without God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world or in the world. Man was hopeless without God. Man sinned against God. Man sinned separated from God. Man was hopeless without God. By the way, without God, we have nothing. We are hopeless without God. So man was in a situation where he sinned. There was a separation. There's a broken relationship. Man is hopeless. He's on his own. Things aren't going right. And then we see letter D. God made a way for man to be restored back to God. God made a way for man to be restored back to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You know, here we see that God, it says here that he reconciled the world. He gave the world an opportunity to be reconciled back with him. Amazingly, God took the first step in reconciling us to himself. He took the first step. He said, I'm going to open up this door, this opportunity for you to be reconciled. God made a way for man to be restored back to God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, in verse number 1, it says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within And on the backside seal was seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Here's Jesus Christ. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them a harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. See, here Jesus Christ made a way for man, a way to be reconciled. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them that was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Here we see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for man. What did he do? God looked down. God says, man has sinned. Man is separated. There is a broken relationship. God says, I miss man. I want to have fellowship with man. I made man for me, for fellowship. But now there is no fellowship. We have a broken relationship. God didn't do wrong. Man did wrong. But man had no way to reconcile. Man had no hope. They were hopeless. Man couldn't do anything to fix it. You know, there's a lot of religions out there that will tell you that man's the only one that can come to God. But I tell you right now, man can't come to God. God is the one that makes a way for man to come to him. I can't earn my way. I can't make a way on my own. I have to come to God, the Bible says, through Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by my Son. Hey, we got to understand tonight that God looked down. He says, I got to reconcile man. How do I do that? He says, I'm going to send my only begotten Son. And God in the Son died on the cross, opened up the windows of heaven and say, hey, there's an opportunity to be reconciled. He died for man. He paid their sins. If they will turn and receive him and believe in him, then they will be saved and something happens. They become reconciled back to God. Man's sin, God didn't sin. It was man's fault. It wasn't God's fault. Man couldn't fix it. There's nothing they could do. No matter how hard I try, I can't fix this problem with God. I can't do it in myself. Only the innocent can fix it, and that's God. So God, the innocent God that never did wrong, the one that ought to say, all of y'all deserve just to burn in hell, I'm not going to give you another chance. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to give me a chance. He didn't have to forgive me. He didn't have to give me an opportunity to be reconciled back to him. But the love of God, that he died on the cross, he goes, I'm going to die for you that sinned against me. You did me wrong, but I will die for you. And there we see God die on the cross for innocent God dying for a sinful man that sinned against him. And he gave them the opportunity to be reconciled. I love the song. I was going to sing it. I practiced all day and I decided not to sing it. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and as vile as I could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand to me. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way, way down for me, I was lost and undone without God and his Son. When he reached down, he reached down his hand for me. I was hopeless and undone. I had no hope of reconciling to God, but God reached down his hand and he says, I'm going to reconcile you. I can do this. God reconciled man back to himself. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now that word reconciled, I love it. I looked it up. I love the meaning. It means to be restored, to bring back to the original state. You know, we find, I don't know, Brother Barker, I imagine you had some nice cars growing up. Maybe you can look back to a Mustang or some nice car. And if we go find that car, maybe it's in the junkyard somewhere, and you say, I want to restore that car back to the original state. And you know, you can do that. You can take these cars that, I mean, they're all rusted out and broken up and messed up and look like they're garbage. And you can restore it back to as if it was brand new again. You know, when God says that he is going to reconcile you back to him, he says, I'm going to reconcile you as the original state. Bring you, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you back to life. See, without Christ, we are dead. We are dead in our sins, our trespasses and sins. But he says, when I reconcile you, when you come to Christ, something happened. It's not religion, but rather it's salvation. And he restores me back to him and brings me to life. And he brings me back how he originally wanted me to be in fellowship with him. I can't fellowship with him without being born again. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Justified by what? See, I have to be the one that has the faith. God can say, okay, I will make a way for you to be reconciled to me, but you got to have the faith to accept it. You got to have the faith to walk through the door. You got to have the faith to believe it. So there it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. I love that. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I looked up the word justified. You know what justified means? It means righteous. It means as if we've never sinned. You know when God looks down, Brother Craig, and he reaches his hand way down, and when he saved you, he restored you, and he justified you as if you never did him wrong. How does he do that? He says, I have taken your sins, I have forgiven them, and I have forgotten them. He says, I put them behind my back. He says, I've taken your sins, and I put them as far as the east is from the west. I bury them in the deepest sea. And God said this. He says, I remember them no more. The only way that we can become righteous in the eyes of God is for him not to remember them no more. They are washed away. They are paid with the blood of Christ. The innocent paid for the guilty. The innocent opened the door for the guilty. The innocent said, the only way the guilty has hope is I got to be the one, the innocent one, to say, I give you the opportunity. I will reach out. I'll reach out my hand. And I'll restore our relationship. I'll put away these things, this anger, these things, this hurt in this relationship, and I will restore it back. Now, God restored us as if we never sinned against him. As God reconciled us to him, he also commands us to the ministry of reconciliation. What did God say? God said, I reconciled you. Now you go reconcile somebody else. I reconciled you. Now you go reconcile somebody else. Yes, number one, to salvation. But also, I believe this. He wants you to reconcile them to you. See, it's hard for me to win someone to the Lord if I'm at odds against them. It's hard for me to help people to turn to God when I'm at odds against them. See, Again, we can't go by what we think or what makes sense or what we like, but rather we got to go by the word of God. And God's word says, he says, I've given you a ministry. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry. By the way, you all have a ministry. All of y'all, you that are watching right now, you have a ministry. And the ministry that God has given to you is to the ministry of reconciling people. The ministry to reconcile, reconciliation. For to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world and himself, reconciling the guilty to the innocent. The innocent, why didn't do the wrong? They did the wrong. The innocent opening up the opportunity to the guilty and say, I will give you opportunity to be reconciled in fellowship with me again. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does he say here? Not imputing their trespass, not putting it on them. Somebody comes to my house. They break in my house. They steal things. They shoot my dog, whatever. Police come. They get arrested. And I say, wait a minute. That's my neighbor. I want to reconcile them. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them an opportunity to fix this. Hey, guess what? I will take care of all the bill. I will take care of what happened here. I'll take care of it all. It'll all be fixed. I just need you to tell the police you accept what I'm telling you. If you would do that, then everything will go back to the same it was before. And when I see you, I'm not going to see you as a neighbor that broke in my house. I'll see you the neighbor that I used to love. I will reconcile you back to me. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are innocent, ye which say, I didn't do the wrong, they did the wrong. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what? What he's saying there, someday you might be the one that needs to be reconciled back. Amen. And you have no hope. You can't fix it. A man that cheats on his wife, and the wife has all the reasons to say, I'm divorcing you. He's the guilty. She's the innocent. He has no way to restore it. He committed the crime. He hurt her. He committed the crime against her. There is no way that he can fix this. The only one that can fix it, if she chooses to, is her. And the only way she can fix it is to say, I will give you an opportunity to be reconciled. What I will do is I will forgive what you did to me. Not only will I forgive it, but I will remember it no more. I remember Brother Brown at one of our couples retreats talked about a couple and how the wife cheated on the husband. And the next day she came back home. She had little babies, and she came back home to her husband weeping and crying and saying, I don't blame you for not taking me back, but I wish you would forgive me. And he picked her up from the floor and he goes, stand up. He says, I will forgive you if you do one thing. If you're willing to do one thing, I will forgive you. She says, what's that one thing? He says, as long as you don't bring it up ever again, let's just forget it. I'll forgive you. What did he do? He reconciled. She couldn't do anything to reconcile herself. She could beg, but it's all up to him. He has to open that opportunity. He has to make a way for the guilty. The innocent has to make the way for the guilty to be reconciled back to the innocent. What did he do? He opened that opportunity for her. We see here, the Bible tells us that the spiritual one needs to reconcile the one that has done him wrong. As the Bible says, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it's about understanding that we're all going to go through things in life. And be in the spirit of forgiveness, in the spirit of reconciling, you know, and understanding we got, you know, as a church, we're growing and things are going to happen in our church and people are going to do you wrong and somebody's going to hurt you. And you know, it's a constant reconciling in the church house. And I just don't like that. I feel they did me wrong once, I'll forgive them twice, that's it. No, it's reconciling. It's trying to fix this. It's the same thing in marriage. It's the same thing in family. It's the same thing in every relationship. The Bible says, for if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. By the way, we are nothing. We are but dirt. We are nothing. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. And God has reconciled us. God says, I'm your example. I reconciled you back to me. You didn't deserve it. You did me wrong. I'm innocent. You're guilty. But I made a way for you. Now I've given you a ministry. Go reconcile people. Go bring them back to me and bring them back to you. Reconcile that relationship. Now, how do we obey God in the area of reconciling a broken relationship? Husband, wife, wife, husband. Parents, children, children, parents. Family, friends. It doesn't matter. Broken relationships. Now, how do we obey God in the area of reconciling a broken relationship? Number one, we need to understand what God did for us. We need to understand what God did for us. We need to understand what God did for us. The Bible says in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, we need to understand, he died for me. He made a way for me. Then I ought to make a way for someone else. Number one, we need to understand what God did for us. Number two, we need to make a way for them to be reconciled. I tell you, that's an important statement right there. We need to make a way. We need to say, I'm gonna find a way that you can be reconciled. Okay, so somebody steals from their boss, and the supervisor finds them, takes them to the boss, says, fire him. He stole from us. So the supervisor walks out, the owner's there, he looks at that worker and he says, you stole from me. You know the rules, you get fired. But I love you. I think highly of you. I don't know why you did this. You sinned against me, but I love you. So I want to reconcile you. I don't want you losing your job. And this is what I'll do. I will take your punishment. I will take the penalty. I will take the loss so you don't have to lose your job. And he has the power to do that. The guilty has no power at all. We're powerless. I can't do anything to fix it. See, the thing is, folks, and I, if we want to reconcile a relationship, and by the way, a lot of times in a marriage, when we're not willing to reconcile, it's because of pride. But the Bible says you better take heed who you really are, because you're really nothing. And the Bible says, take heed that you stand lest you fall. I mean, it could be us next, and we're going to be begging for someone to give us a chance to be reconciled. Let us have a heart of reconciling others back to us. Give them that opportunity to say, I'm going to let you have this opportunity to come back in relationship. I'm going to forgive this sin you did against me. I'm going to remove it. I'm going to forget it. And I'm going to treat you as if you never did me wrong. See, a lot of times people say they forgive, but they still mistreat. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is forgiven, forgotten as best as we can, and not bringing it up. Not, you know, if a spouse hurts another spouse, a spouse hurts a spouse in a marriage relationship, and you say, well, I forgive you, but you constantly bring up the hurt. Every time something comes up, you bring up that hurt, then you have not forgiven. We need to make a way for them to be reconciled. The Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We need to make a way for them to be reconciled. God found a way for us to be reconciled back to him. So we must offer a way for those who wronged us to be restored back to us in relationship. And I tell you, we live in a world where there's a lot of hurt. We live in a world where there's a lot of broken relationships. It's all over. And it's not healthy. And what do we have to do? We have to say, okay, I'm the one that was wronged. That's the guilty party. They don't deserve to be reconciled. They don't deserve to be forgiven. But you're kind of like the guy in the story where the man owed millions of dollars to his master, and the master forgave him, and then he went to the guy that owed him $17 and threw him in jail. You know, the reason we can't forgive and the reason we're not willing to be reconciled back with somebody that did us wrong is we forget that we've been reconciled. But if I can remember that God forgave me and reconciled me because of my sins, then it shouldn't be hard to reconcile people. Because you know what? We're all sinners. God found a way for us to be reconciled back to Him. So we must offer a way to those who wronged us to be restored back to our relationship. Number three, how do we fix a broken relationship? Number three, we need to restore them back as new, as if they never committed an offense against us. Let them know, hey, I'm going to restore this relationship, and it's good as new. I'm not going to be worried about it. I'm going to trust God with it. We're good as gold here. The Bible tells us in Luke 15, it says here, and the son said unto him, this is a prodigal son, Father, I've sinned against heaven. Remember, he was eating with the he was feeding the pigs, and he said, I'll go back home because my dad's servants eat better than I do. So I'll go home and I'll tell my dad, don't call me son anymore. I don't deserve to be your son. Just let me be your servant so I can eat with the servants. That's all he wanted. And that's all he deserved. He didn't even deserve that, but if he could have at least that. He said here, he said, and the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am not more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The Bible says, notice what happens here. For this my what? Son. Reconciliation. Restored back as if it never was broken. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Restored. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, we need to understand that we must restore people back anew. I forgive you, and we're gonna just forget it. And I'm not going to treat you any different. I'm not going to look at you any different. We're good. If you do me wrong again, we'll figure that out. We'll go through that again. But right now, we're good. It's not that I erased your debt. It's not like there's nothing on your balance here. You have nothing. It's as if you never had a debt. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. And number four, and lastly, how do you restore a broken relationship? We must be willing to continue to forgive their offenses. Not only one time, but many times. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 19, verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. I love it. I'm not saying this about me. I'm saying this passage here about this man. This man had this attitude. I love to forgive people. When people do me wrong, I love to pass over their transgression. I love it when I can come to them and say, hey, guess what? You did me wrong. I want to reconcile us back. Let's fix this. And I make it easy, not hard, but easy for them, for us to get reconciled and to fix this problem. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new, what? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. How do we get reconciled back to God? We need to understand where we came from. We need to understand that Christ reconciled us. We need to be willing to make a way for someone to come and be reconciled. If I say, well, you did me wrong and I don't want nothing to do with you. Well, I want to fix it. Well, figure it out. Guess what? They can't, because they're the guilty party. You're the innocent. But if you go to them and say, hey, guess what? I want to fix it. How, the guilty says, I have figured it out. I will forgive your trespasses, and I will treat you, I'll restore you as if you never did it. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. You know, little kids are that way in the nursery. Man, you walk by the nursery, look in that window. I mean, there's like hair flying and blood, and they're punching each other. I mean, these two-year-olds, right? But you give them 5 minutes, they're playing again and hugging each other. And they don't remember. It's forgiven and it's forgotten. You know, the Bible says we're to have childlike faith. Let us be in the business. Let us stay busy restoring broken relationships. God says, I give you a ministry. It's a command. I give you a ministry. And your one job, your main job, the job I give you, is go out and reconcile. Reconcile people to the Lord and salvation by them coming to Christ, and reconcile them to you. I don't want salvation. I don't want your Christ because they have aught against you. Reconcile them to you. Reconcile them to Christ. You know, we get to do what the Lord did. We get to forgive. We get to reconcile. We get to fix. We get to say, I will fix this situation. The innocent opens up to the guilty and says, I will allow you to step in to my life again. I'm the innocent. You're the guilty. I'll let you step in my life. I will reconcile you to me. I do that for you, my gift. I reconcile you to me. But I did you wrong. I reconcile. I forgive you. It's forgotten. As if you've never sinned. As anew, like it was before. That's what God wants from all of us. Be reconciled to one another.